Our scripture reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I came to cast fire upon the earth. How I wish that it was already ablaze. I have a baptism I must experience. How I am distressed until it's completed. Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, I have come instead to bring division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will square off against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said this to the crowds. When you see a cloud forming in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and indeed it does. And when a south wind blows, you say a heat wave is coming, and it does. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret conditions on earth and in the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a little section from Luke, 12th chapter. How many of you is it your favorite verses? We don't pull it out and read it too often, especially when we're thinking about family. Family. Oh, yes, family. We think wonderful things about it, and then we think about our own families and think, oh God, what has happened? Don't think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. This is Jesus talking. I've come to cast fire, to burn up the status quo, to disrupt the way things are. I've come to disturb and disrupt your family. Stanley Hauerwas, writer and teacher extraordinaire, begins one of his classes by reading a letter from a parent to a government official. The parent complained that his once obedient and well-motivated son had become involved in some wild religious group. The group had completely taken over his life, forced him to forsake all of his friends, and turned him against his own family. The father was pleading with the government official to intervene and to take some kind of action against this obviously disruptive group which had caused such serious problems in his family. Hauerwas then asked his class, "What's this letter about?" The class thought that it was probably concerning a kid who had gotten mixed up in some cult and wandered from the family. But Hauerwas then revealed to the class that the letter came from a 3rd century Roman parent complaining about a weird religious group that someone had called Christians. We sometimes forget that, if we've ever known, that one of the chief Roman criticisms of Christians was that Christians were seen as anti-family, turning children against their parents and encouraging wives to be disobedient to their husbands. For no institution was more beloved in Rome than the family. The family determined one's social and economic destiny. There was also almost nothing that classical Romans would not do for their families. Not so hard to understand one of the reasons Rome persecuted the church. The church was seen as the enemy of the Roman family. But it's quite different today, isn't it? We listen to the preachers and read about what churches are offering today, and you'll come away with the idea that the words Christian and family are just simply one and the same. But I challenge you. I challenge you to examine your Bible and find for me some material on family values. I know you're going to do that as soon as you get home. You're going to find there's not much. The Old Testament is definitely more helpful than the New. Their family does mean a great deal, but only within the confines of the people of Israel. And if you read about the patriarchs and the matriarchs in the Old Testament, you're going to find people who do anything but give us good examples of good family values. They're a rotten bunch of scoundrels. Go to the New Testament, and the matters get worse for the family. Except for Luke, who tells us just a tiny bit about Jesus' childhood, the gospel seemed to know absolutely nothing about Jesus' childhood and his family. Jesus says almost nothing about his family. Whenever his family does make an appearance, it is usually in a rather unflattering way. Jesus talks to them sometimes in a rather harsh manner, to say the least. It's there. Jesus makes it quite clear that his family does not consist of his biological brothers and sisters or even his mother. And we got Father's Day coming up next week, but Lord only knows what happened to Joseph. No mention at all. And then Jesus proceeds to go about Galilee asking people to leave their families and to follow him. Don't even have time to go back and bury the dead. The rest of the New Testament is not much better. Paul would just as soon you didn't marry at all. Of course, he does say something about wives are to obey their husbands and husbands are to love their wives. But he ends that with telling us he is mainly talking about the church and really not marriage. The gospel talks about being a disciple. And your family, for all its strengths, is not enough to make you a disciple. Therefore, the church has taken you out of your family. The church has adopted you, baptized you, and thus made you part of a much bigger family we call the church. In the church, you learn to call people sister and brother who otherwise would be strangers. So the church really does believe in something called family values, but not in the sense that society has been using the term. We believe in family, and we also believe in the family of God. And the way that family is born is not through natural generation, but through spiritual regeneration and through baptism. Here is a family that knows no social, economic, racial, or political boundaries. Here is a family in which your grandparents don't live just over the other side of the hill, but rather many of them the other side of the world. These are the parents of your faith, and they have shown you the way. Our former Bishop Williman tells of a Sunday when he preached on this particular text at Duke University. He says that he preached that Jesus comes to create a new, larger family, the church. He thought it to be a rather tough, even harsh sermon. After all, doesn't everybody seem to believe in family values today? Isn't the family the one good that we can all join hands and affirm? So he's a bit surprised when a student emerged from the chapel shaking his hand and saying, "That was a great sermon. Such a comfort to me." Well, Williman thought that was an odd comment and wondered if the student got along with his family. Later in the week, when another student said to him, "You know, I know you have had a lot of comments about your family sermon, but I want you to know that I really found it comforting." Well, that did it. He had to ask, "Why did you find it such a comfort?" Why would a sermon about Jesus telling that he has brought division and not peace to our families have been a comfort? The student, she said, I didn't know that God had any other plans for us other than the family. You see, all this came as news to me, and it was comforting to know that God has something else in mind. I've been so depressed about my family. When I came to Duke, first thing I did was receive a letter from my mother telling me that she and my father were getting a divorce and that they only stayed together until I went off to college. I thought to myself, gee, well, maybe I could have kept the marriage together if I'd not gone to college. My 16-year-old sister, I learned, his own birth control pills, and my older brother is in his second alcohol treatment program. You see, I've had to come to the sad conclusion that I probably can't save, I can't fix my family. But I didn't know that God had something else in mind for me, that there is a place and a purpose for me. Often with the gospel, what sounds to somebody like bad news sometimes sounds to someone else like good news. Perhaps it all depends on where you're standing. Well, I don't think anyone will argue that in our culture today we are experiencing somewhat the complete breakdown of the family. But for some of us, that's not anything new. Too many of us have had to grow up without the loving support of family. I've never experienced having grandparents fuss over me and treat me like I was the greatest kid on earth. Two died before I was born, and the other two, they died by the time I was 10, and I was seldom around them. But I had a lot of, I had old written down, but I'm going to change that to elderly ladies and gentlemen, who always spoke and made me feel special whenever our paths crossed in church. I had a mother who raised me, telling me I wasn't worth much, couldn't do anything right. Never told me she loved me, never hugged me, didn't play with me. But there was Mrs. Ash, and Mrs. Ames, and Mrs. Christenberry, Bob and Elsie Haley, all of those who never failed to tell me how important I was and made me feel loved and important in church. You see, I didn't have the family I needed at home, but I had a family at church. And I still got that family. And it grows. It's always growing. I've had some very special people be grandparents to me all of my adult life. We weren't related by birth or blood, but we are related by baptism. We are members of the family of God. We believe in the church. Here we do not believe in single-parent families. Of course, the nice thing is we have never believed in two-parent families either. We believe in something called baptism, whereby we adopt people of all different ages, and we put them in a family that's much richer, more diverse, and interesting than the family they would have been in had they not been baptized. This, we believe, you see, is God's answer to what ails the world. The fact is this, following Jesus broke the hearts of many families and still does. Never forget my preacher telling about a young lady who came to the altar one Sunday and accepted God's call to her to be a missionary in foreign lands. Brother Talley said he had barely made it through the door of his house that Sunday before the phone rang, and it was a young lady's mother, and She was demanded to know what all this missionary business was about. What have you done to my daughter? Jesus has broke many a heart. That is a fact. But the fact also is that Jesus has healed the hearts of many people. And isn't that a message that the world needs to hear? If you came out of a great family, you were blessed indeed. And isn't it great to be a member of God's family? You see, you've been blessed double. If your growing up family was anything ranging from nothing to horrible, isn't it great to be a part of the family of God that we call the church? You have been blessed indeed. So what are you to do? You're to go to that part of the world in which you live and tell the people about a family that doesn't care what they look like or where they've been or what they've done. But you tell them about a place where they can be born anew and become part of God's family. What could you possibly tell them that would be any better than that? In Jesus' name, amen.